Good morning and welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the men's prayer breakfast and Bible study. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2011. Today's devotion is going to start out in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12, 13, and 14. And now, Israel, Open Door Baptist Church, and now, your name here, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And I'm just going to throw this in, just as a little kicker here. Behold, verse 14, the heaven and the heaven of heaven is the Lord's, in case you was wondering. Thy God. The heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also, by the way, with all that therein is. Okay. At this point, I'm going to give you a little bit. Let me begin at the beginning here. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 10, 12, just hit on that a little bit. The fear of the Lord is an expression that means reverential trust. It means reverent. Means humble. It means solemn, gracious, polite. Psalms 19:9 tells us a little bit about the fear of the Lord. It said the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. And that don't mean swear by his name, by the by. That don't mean give him a last name like we used to do in our old lifestyle. It means take an oath to his name, you know, be loyal to his name is what that's saying now. Then these verses, verse 12 tells us to love our Lord. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. On down a little farther in 6:24, and the Lord commands us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. It behooves us to do that, don't it? That's what it's saying here. It's to our advantage, that he may preserve us alive as it is at this day. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about Micah. That's where we'll end up next. Micah 6 is where we're going. After I tell you a little bit about Micah and what's going on here. The name Micah means who is like Jehovah, who is like the Lord. Micah prophesied in the 8th century, and he was an associate, he was a contemporary, he was a partner, so to speak, in Christ of Isaiah. So that's some pretty good company to be in, I guess you could say. They came from a small town of Moresheth. That was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It was south of Jerusalem. The reference book tells me Micah witnessed the Assyrians advance towards Israel, and he watched it all as it was reduced to an Assyrian province after the fall of Samaria. Judah was continually threatened under the the Assyrian kings. And Micah declares, and he affirms, so to speak, that both kingdoms will be subject to God's wrath. And that's not going to be in a good position to be in, is it? Not at all. No way. Listen to this now, that the capital will be destroyed because of the sinfulness. The sinfulness. Where was it? The capital will be destroyed because of the sinfulness of the leaders. Oh, my. We could kind of relate that, couldn't we? As we look a little bit at what's going on today. A little bit of eye-opener there.
Really?
Be destroyed because of the sinfulness of the leaders. The civic rulers, the prophets, the priests are all found guilty of failing to reflect the fear of God in all their responsibilities. So it sounds like it's catching up on, doesn't it? Social injustice prevails in all these cities. And what little bit of holiness is left is get kind of lacking here in their everyday lives. And that kind of tells them that doom is not too far behind them. Doom is coming. But, all is not lost yet. The promise of restoration provides hope to everybody that puts their trust in the Lord. There's always hope in the Lord, isn't there? Always hope in the Lord. restored Zion, the city of Zion, as it is, God's city, as we all know, that will be the center of the universe. The universal kingdom where absolute peace and justice will prevail. City of God. Our mighty ruler, our Lord and Savior, as we all know, he's going to establish a kingdom for his people that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Ever and ever. Okay, you get the picture there. And certainly that's what I say, folks. That's what the church is looking forward to, isn't it? Okay. Now, Micah 6, beginning at the beginning, 6, 1, 2, 3, and 4, actually. Let me get over here. There's a controversy, God's controversy. The Lord has a controversy, a disagreement with the Israelites. And he's going to contend, he's going to plead with his people. As we all know, a controversy is a disagreement, a difference of opinion, is strife, is argument. So I'm going to read from 6, Micah 6, 1 through 4. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people. He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done? This is the Lord speaking. What have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Tell me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and I sent thee before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So we see the Lord's got a problem with the folks here, with the Israelites. Now this is where I was headed for all the time, right here, verse 6. Wherewithal, that means what, shall I come? What shall I bring before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Uh, with burnt offerings or young calves. Well, he said, the Lord said, that's kind of a nice trial, but that ain't going to do it. That ain't going to be nearly enough. Verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Psalms 40:6-8, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Lord don't want none of that stuff, does it? Yeah, well, that ain't gonna do it with him.
Right.
No sacrifices. Mine ears has thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required.
Right, really.
Verse 7 of Psalms 40. Then said I, lo, I came. The volume of the book, it is written on me. I'm sorry. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. A little bit more support verses here, Psalms 51. For thou desirest not sacrifices, else would I give. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. No burnt offerings. Sacrifices of God or broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. Contrite, by the way, means sorrowful. You're sorry. You know? O God, thou wilt not despise sacrifices of God or broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Jeremiah 6. To what purpose cometh there to me, and excuse me, incense from Sheba. Let me read that again. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet came from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor our sacrifices sweet unto me. That ain't gonna work with me.
Right.
Also Psalm Amos 5:21, I despise your feast days. Thou you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. And also, by the way, Scripture says, shall I give my firstborn? Moses' law claimed the firstborn of man and beast for the Lord, but the firstborn of beasts were sacrificed, and of course they weren't going to sacrifice no children. Said the children were redeemed, they weren't going to sacrifice any children at all. Exodus 13:13 claims that as well. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb.
Right.
And if thou wilt not redeem it, then shalt thou break his neck, and all of the firstborn of man among the children shall be redeemed. Verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Here it is. But to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
Verse 8. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Really?
I think not, huh?
Right.
Think about it a little bit. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, to hearken means pay attention, to listen, to pay attention. So, sacrifice. He wants a little bit more than sacrifices, don't he?
Right.
Certainly so. Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Yes, sir. There's a verification of that, isn't it? Hosea 12, a little farther on down. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, And wait on thy God. Wait on the Lord. Patience once again. And wait on thy God continually. Certainly not when we need Him, but all the time, isn't it? Not as a spare tire. Continually, it says, the God of the mountain is a God in the valley. Same one, ain't it? God when it's raining is a God when the sun's shining. Same one, ain't it? Wait on thy God continually. Also, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And by the way, there's a little bit extra here that I heard this more times than one, especially in my younger days. Verse 18 says, come, let us reason together. Yeah. My brother used to always hit me with the scripture. He always wanted to talk to me. He said, come, let's reason together. And you know, what have I done now? She always hit me with the scripture. Praise the Lord for my mother, isn't it? Anyway, finishing up here, about done. The Israelites were called upon to declare why they were weary of God's worship, and they was prone to turn to idol worship here back in the days. And as we learned in this, when we first read the first verses of Micah, what was it, 6? Hear ye now what the Lord has said. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. O ye mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done to thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Israel, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. So sin turned them to idol worship, didn't they? Sin. That's what always causes a controversy, ain't it? For the most part. Sin causes a controversy between us and God. God and man. And, of course, man and man too, isn't it? Most times it is. God reasons with us and teaches us to reason with ourselves. God lets the Israelites remember his favors to them and their fathers, and compares them with the unworthy, ungrateful conduct towards him. God hates sin, don't he? He hates sin. So, the good which God requires of us is not paying the price for the pardon of sin and acceptance with Him. But what He wants from us, He just wants us to love Him, be obedient to Him. And if we want to walk comfortably with Him, we as redeemed, saved, Bible believing, saved by grace, sinners. What we must do, let's go back to verse 8 here. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to behave, that means, to act right, it means act morally right, it means to be reasonable, it means to be righteous. Love mercy. Number 2, love mercy. That means love and be loved. Be kind. Be gentle. Scripture says love one another, doesn't it? And number 3, walk humbly with our God. Obey our Lord. Have and show a meek spirit. Be humble. Certainly not proud. Certainly not proud. What the Lord requires of thee. O man, what is good and what the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Amen. The word of the Lord. Praise God.